But you have to bear in mind that the U.S. is isolated, the U.S. and Britain are isolated now internationally and regionally, not only on the issue of Iraq, but also on the issue of Iran. The U.S. is very isolated on that. That's the background for the conflicts that are going on about a pipeline from the Caspian region. The most of the producers, and in fact even the oil companies, want to have a pipeline through Iran, which is the most secure and the cheapest and the most stable area and so on. The U.S. is refusing. It's insisting that the pipeline go through Turkey. They also wanted to cut out Russia. And there's a lot of conflict over this. The Caspian region is, you know, it's not like the Middle East. It's a substantial oil resource, but you know, nobody thinks it's on a par with the Arabian Peninsula and the Gulf. It's another secondary source, but still there's plenty of money to be made there. And there's a conflict between the United States and Europe, the United States and Russia, the United States and China. There's a lot of conflict about how the profits are going to be shared among that, and the pipeline is part of it. The United States is trying to keep Iran out, even in opposition to the U.S.-based oil companies in this case, which is not a unique case, but a little unusual. How's the United States going to handle this? You know, how's it going to run the region in the face of these conflicts and oppositions? Well, you know, if you're involved in any kind of conflict, whether it's a card game or anything else, you try to play your strong hand. You try to shift things around so that they'll be in the arena in which you're strong. The U.S. has comparative advantage in exactly one area, force and violence, not anywhere else. In force and violence, it is unparalleled. You know, nobody comes close. So it makes good sense for planners to try to play that hand, shift everything into that arena. And that, I think, is exactly what we're seeing. I think that's what we saw when the U.S. bombed Sudan, for example, destroying its major pharmaceutical plant. It's interesting to notice how little attention was given to that in the United States. I mean, if there had been an Islamic terrorist attack that destroyed half of U.S. pharmaceutical facilities, you'd think somebody might have noticed. You know. But this one, well, you know, it's just Africa, who cares? So we attack a pharmaceutical plant, let's get on to the next thing, like, you know, whether Monica Lewinsky, something or other. But I think that that message was understood by the people to whom it was likely sent, namely people in Tehran and Riyadh, Saudi Arabia and Iran. They're saying, look, we're a violent, lawless state, and we're going to use force to get what we want. I think that's probably the reason for the December crime, reason for the December bombings, too. The one thing where we have overwhelming advantage is in force. And it doesn't matter if the excuses are not credible. It doesn't matter if the effect of the bombing is the opposite of what we claim we're after. We can count on educated Americans to march in a parade and not say anything. And we'll show you, you'll understand, but we'll show you that what we say goes. George Bush's definition of the New World Order, while the missiles were dropping in February 1991. I think that's the message, and that's understood. We're a violent, lawless state. Get out of the way, or else.